Turn your radio on. This is Chariot. And this is Rachel. They've been together 43 years. And Chariot has lasted much longer than any of Rachel's three husbands.
But she's never lied to me, never cheated on me, and I can always depend on her.
Rachel is 89. Chariot is a
1964 Mercury Comet Caliente hot.
She be whispering in my ear, say the things I want to hear, make me know your love is strong. And rub it in, rub it in.
Christian Car Guy Radio Show.
I say this calls for action, and now.
Rachel knew early on that she'd keep Chariot for a long time. So, whenever possible, she bought parts with lifetime warranties.
This was the fifth Midas muffler, lifetime guaranteed. I've had seven. This is the shocks from Sears, and I've had three sets. This is the lifetime guaranteed battery from Penny's. And Penny still pays for it, but Firestone puts it in. And I've had 16 free batteries.
Put a little on my nose. Put a little on my toes. Put it on my back, and my sack of really act. And the devil on my chin and chin, chin.
What happened to Rachel and Chariot? Today on the Christian Car Guy Show, many of you may remember back about 11 years ago, the lady that was in that video, she was 89 at the time. She was on my show, and I had found her, you know, from that video that you were hearing excerpts of, which was called Romancing the Road. And she had a 1964 Mercury Comet. At the time, it had 540,000 miles on it. And that video, by the way, I reposted this morning at ChristianCarGuy.com if you want to watch the whole thing. It's how I found her. A listener had seen it and sent me to that link, and I went, oh my goodness, look at this. This is a poster child for the values that I have in car care, right? I've been teaching this stuff for years. And for years, essentially, if you take care of your car, it will last as long as you do. And as we found out in this case, it longer. So, well, that was, as I said, about 11 years ago, and she was 89. So what did happen to her and Chariot? Well, we have that story, and I mean the story, and it's a wonderful story. This morning, the Talented Christian Car Guy Show. This would have been her 100th birthday this year on August the 8th. So coming up in the next segment, actually, we have Chariot's new owner, Scott Krause, and he will share what I would say is a scandalous story. But speaking of scandalous, right now you're probably wondering, what does that have to do with rub it in? Well, we're scandalous today on the Christian Car Guy Show. I'm just saying. Rub it in, rub it in. Right, Bob? It sounds scandalous, doesn't it?
It does.
Sound like something that you would put on a Christian Car Guy show.
I hope nobody changed their station thinking they were missing the Christian Car Guy show.
So, yes, it sounds scandalous, but to me, I found out this week that the reason of that rub it in has to do with the intimacy of an anointing. You know, Rachel told me years ago when I interviewed her that Chariot still had the original paint.
Wow.
At the time, which shocked me because she lived in Sanford, Florida, which that's salty air. And at that point in time, the car was nearly 50 years old. So what? How could she still have the original paint on it? Well, she shared her secret. In fact, Jerry was on the show with me that week. And he and I both looked at each other in complete wonder. She said her secret was she washed the car. If you can imagine it, she was rubbing it in with kerosene. Yes, kerosene. Scandalous.
Scandalous. You don't see that in the owner's manual.
No. And I truly believe if you watched and talked to Rachel as much as I did over the years, she was anointing Chariot. Like the two women in the Bible who loved on Jesus, they anointed his feet, which was equally, perhaps more scandalous, right?
Absolutely.
And Robbie, where are you going with all this? Well, my mind is actually blown this week on the lesson that God has had for me on anointing. As I was studying the love in the Song of Songs and the 23rd Psalm. In fact, last Saturday when we were playing Christian Car Guy Theater, I wrote an article on the love that was explained in the 23rd Psalm based on what I found out from the Song of Solomon. And when I got down to, you know, the different, you know, he makes me lay down in green pastures and he, you know, leads me beside, he restores my soul. All the love that Jesus was sharing with David. So when I got to the part where he anoints my head with oil, that really took me deeper into really my own love stories this week than I could have ever imagined. See, to anoint in the original language, it carries with it a sense of stroking or petting. Did you ever think of why a pet is called a pet? It's because you pet them.
It's pretty amazing,
brother. You're kind of like anointing them with your love. And think how intimate that is to pet someone. Just think about that intimacy. How many people will you let stroke your head?
Well, this is really amazing for me because it just popped in my mind, and I hadn't thought of it in 20 years or more. But my mom, you know, she loved on me. And she even called me puppy. You know, I haven't told that ever to anyone that I can think of. So please don't. Hey, puppy.
That's scandalous.
What do you say? And she just loved on me and rubbed on me. And you know, I'd curl up in her lap. And she, you know, I grew up like that. And it's the ultimate sign. Yeah, the ultimate
anointing. And you see, the idea of the oil is it spreads, right? And so, you know, when you're loved on like that, that spreads. So if on your list, you know, think about who would that be that you would allow to stroke your head? So on Sunday, last Sunday, in my prayer and meditation time, I thought, well, I'll just climb into God's lap. I'm meditating and ask him to anoint me, just like you explained with your mom. Climb into the Father's lap and you know, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Just feel that, experience that. Haven't God literally rub your head? And that was an amazing experience last Sunday that I actually went to my special needs class, which I teach on Sundays. And if you've ever been around people with Down syndrome or autism, and these guys are in their 40s and 50s, so we always rub on each other's heads. I mean, it's just what we do. It's just there's no barrier there. So it's not unusual at all for those folks to rub on my head. They just love to do that for whatever reason. I think I know the reason, right? That they're anointing me and I'm anointing them back. But even more amazing than that, so I've been in my prayer time, really, for about the last 2 weeks, I've been asking specifically, God, I just want to experience more intimacy with you. What is that like? And then I thought, it feels so amazing to have the Father stroke my head and anoint me. Would it be possible for me to anoint Jesus? Would it be like rubbing on fire or skin? What would it be like to actually rub on his head? Would he let you do such a thing? And would he let you rub on? Would he do that? And then look, the Holy Spirit immediately, I mean, this morning it like fire came down and said, Robbie, take a look at Luke 7, 44 through 48. And you might remember the story that this woman who was obviously not a virtuous woman, apparently, based on
what maybe a tad scandalous.
Scandalous, right? They're in a Pharisee's house. Get the picture, right? This is like they're at the pastor's house. And this woman comes in and she starts, right, crying on Jesus' feet, rubbing with her head, kissing her feet. And this is what Jesus says to the guy. He says, do you see this woman? I entered her house and you didn't give me water for my feet. But since she arrived, she's drenched my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time she entered, she's not stopped kissing my feet. Think how scandalous that is. Can you imagine your pastor with some woman sitting there kissing her feet? You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Jesus did not rebuke this woman for doing this. In fact, he kind of rebuked the Pharisee for not doing it.
Right.
And the point that just grabbed hold of me, like just, oh my goodness, Jesus not only will allow it, he wants that. He wants us to anoint him. He wants to be
loved on. Caressed.
And I'm just like, oh my goodness. Well, when you think back to Rachel, and we're going to have Scott here in a minute to talk about it. I know that Rachel loved Christ. She told me she did that time when I interviewed her. And she lived her life, she was a nurse, so she obviously spread that anointing on some people. But just think about this now, because she died in 2017, and I think she's now anointing, she went to be with the Lord. She's now anointing Jesus' feet with as much more than kerosene. I mean, I don't think, and I'm praying that maybe we find that. So we're going to hear from you. We want you to call in at 866-348-7884 after we hear from Scott. Talk about how you anoint Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? What would that be like? Who rubs on you? What does that bring back in your memory? We're going to be petting our cars and keeping their paint good. When we come back, we're going to hear from Scott. Stay tuned. So much more. Christian Car Guy Show.
Turn your radio on. This is Chariot. And this is Rachel. They've been together 43 years. And Chariot has lasted much longer than any of Rachel's three husbands.
But she's never lied to me, never cheated on me, and I can always depend on her.
Rachel is 89. Chariot is a
1964 Mercury Comet Caliente hot.
Whisper in my ear, say the things I want to hear, make me know your love is strong, and rub it in, rub it in.
We are anointing today, anointing our cars with kerosene like Rachel on the Christian Car Guy Show this morning. And as promised, I am so really, really excited because this is not a well-known situation, but we're going to try to help make it better known. What did happen to Rachel and what did happen to Chariot as we have Chariot's new owner, Scott Krause, with us. Scott, welcome to the Christian Car Guy Show this morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Oh, I was just so delighted to talk to you yesterday, and this is such a story we get to share with our listeners. I know it's a long story, but can you kind of share how you got to know Rachel and how it would come about that she literally gave you that car?
Well, it's kind of a long story, but I work for a Ford Lincoln Mercury dealer in Milwaukee, and I keep a car for a long time, and I had traded in a Mercury Sable with over 200,000 miles on it, and shortly after I did that, a friend of mine sent me an email, and the heading was 540,000-mile Mercury, and no, it's not your Sable. And it was one of the stories about Rachel, the one where she's being interviewed and the gentleman asks her from Growing Bolder, aren't you concerned about traveling by yourself? And she pulls a gun out from under the front seat. And I just watched it and just was so enthralled with this story. And I work at Uptown Motors in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we were going to Orlando. And I Googled her, and her phone number came up. And I called her, and she answered the phone, and I said, is this Rachel Vitek? And she said, who's calling? And I said, my name is Scott Krause, and I work for Uptown Ford Lincoln Mercury in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I just traded in my Mercury Sable with 200,000 miles on it, and after seeing your story, I want my Sable back. And we talked for a little bit, and she goes, well, first of all, my name is Veach, like Peach. Those who like me call me Veach. Those who don't like me call me VTech. And after about a 20-minute conversation, I said, Rachel, I'm coming down to Orlando and going to Disney World for one day, but I would love to meet you. Would you have breakfast with me? And she said, well, I live 25 miles from Disney World. I said, I'll drive 25 miles to meet you. And so she, you know, here's this clown calling her from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I said, you pick a restaurant and I'll meet you there. And she said, well, you know, the Golden Corral has a buffet. So I pull into the Golden Corral and she's in the parking lot. She's got the hood open, the trunk open, and five men showing off her car that she's showing her car off to. So we go into the restaurant and she has what she's calls her Bible, which are three ring binders with every documentation of everything on the car, right down to the original bill of sale. Now, we have a large a classic car show in Wisconsin every year called Iola. It's in the center of the state. And in the 90s, we found a card in there that she had been there. And now we had known each other for an hour, and I said, Rachel, what would it take? I said, this theme this year, that particular year, was the 60s cars. I said, what would it take for you to come up this year? She said, why don't you ask me? And I said, would you come up? She said, I'd love to. I said, would you stay at our house? She said, I'd love to. And that's how it started. And it was a 10-year relationship. We just became very, very good friends. She ended up being in the education tent at the Iola Car Show for many years. We would have her at the dealership. She was on all the local TV stations, radio stations, newspapers. In fact, the one major news show in Milwaukee, Channel 12, did a 3.5-minute story on Rachel in the 10 o'clock news. That ended up on CNN. From CNN, Jay Leno saw it and flew her and the car to California. And so she was on the Jay Leno show with the car. And over the years, we developed quite a close relationship. And when she was about 93, because it was prior to us putting her in a nursing home, she called me one day, and you know, she was very matter-of-fact about life. And she said, well, I just put Chariot in the garage for the last time. I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, I drove through a red light, and I know what that means. It's a macular degeneration. It's not safe for me to drive anymore. I said, okay. And she said, will you help me find someplace to put the Chariot? And I said, of course I will. And we talked about Jay Leno, and I said, well, the one thing about Jay Leno, you went through his collection, and you know that if it goes to him, no one will ever see the car again. And we called the Ford Auto Museum in Detroit, or Dearborn, and their exact words to me were, we don't want the car because we don't want people to think they can keep a car that long. And so over a month or so, we discussed different options, and I was checking out different museums, and she was scheduled to come up that year for Iola, and she called me one day, and she said, I decided what I'm going to do with the car. I said, okay, Rachel, what are you going to do with your car? She said, I'm going to give it to you. I said, no, you're not. I said, you have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. I am not getting in the middle of a family feud. And she said, I already talked to my family. It's not negotiable. You're the only one I know who will take care of my car, and the car is going to you. So when she came up that year, we had a party for her. In fact, we had 102 people at our house. And I don't know if you saw the picture of her in a swimsuit standing next to the car at Sanford Beach.
No, I have seen that picture.
Okay, well, we had that blown up to poster size, and everybody who came to the party signed it. And then we had it framed for her. She had that hanging in her living room.
Wow.
And she signed the car over to me with the understanding that she ever wanted it back, it was hers. And we then had to put her in a nursing home when she was 94. And she died a few months short of being 100. In fact, last August, we have it in the Wisconsin Auto Museum, which is in Hartford, Wisconsin. It's about a half an hour drive northwest of Milwaukee. And we had a 100th birthday party for her on August 8th, because that would have been Rachel's 100th birthday.
You know, the more I have thought about that since I spoke with you, Scott, it's so absolutely fitting that she so loved that car that she gave it to somebody that would love the car. That car.
But as I told you yesterday, kind of a funny story, is I've worked for this dealership for 34 years. In fact, the owner was 3 when I started here, and his grandfather hired me. But his dad...
Oh, no, Scott, we got to go to a break. And I originally told you just one segment, but would you stay over to finish that
story?
Because it's a great one. It'll be about 4 minutes. We'll be back with another story from Scott, a little more on Rachel, and how you could learn about anointing from Rachel. So we got so much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Reach out and touch someone. Reach out, call up and just say hi. Reach out and touch someone.
Wherever you are, you're never too far. They're waiting to share your day.
So, I pulled out that old AT&T commercial to talk about, you know, when you reach out and touch someone, in a way, have you ever thought that you were anointing them, that kind of love could spread from person to person? And when we think about Rachel and Chariot and the way she anointed that car. There's no doubt in my mind that love was behind a lot of that, but that love so really challenged so many people, that the relationship she had with that car, that Scott, she became sort of a celebrity way more than your boss had any idea, right?
True. And my boss is very much into old cars, and he knew I was going to be meeting Rachel. And when we walked out of that restaurant that morning, he was already on the phone calling me. Did you meet her? Did you see the car? I said, better than that, I got her coming to the dealership, and because she was coming up for Iola. And so a few months prior to the Iola car show, he said to me, how is she going to get here? And I said, well, I think she's going to drive. And so I called her. I said, Rachel, would you like, because it's 1,200 miles. I said, would you like one of us to fly down and drive up with you so you're not driving alone? And she said to me, you know, when somebody's with me, they just slow me down. So I looked at the map. If I go over to Pensacola and drive up, I can avoid the mountains, but I only do about 500 miles a day. Now, you and I both love old cars, but we both also know they're not the most comfortable cars to drive. And so I told my boss that, and he said, why don't you see if she would let us ship the car up and fly her up? And again, keep in mind, we had breakfast together. That was the only FaceTime I had with Rachel. And a few months later, she's allowing me to send a truck to her house, take her beloved car away from her, send it 1,200 miles north, get on an airplane, fly to a city she's never been to, and stay with people she didn't know. And that's what started our relationship.
You made a serious impression on that lady.
In fact, she had told me years later that she had a friend who had the police ready because she didn't like her meeting somebody who just called her up off the cuff and coming down from Wisconsin. And she had contacted the police in case something was going to happen. She was a very trusting woman. She was wonderful woman. And I remember that when she got to a certain, she liked to have a little scotch every day. And she got to a certain point when the doctor said, you can't do that anymore. She said, well, so now I dilute it with water.
So when the bill came for your boss, or I guess your boss's son.
That was something that we do a lot of promotions with football players and basketball players. And I'm never a big fan of those because I honestly don't feel that encourages sales of cars. And those usually cost us $30,000 to $35,000. And when we did this promotion, I went to him and said, we need to arrange a truck and an airline ticket. And the young man said to me, you know, I don't believe in this. Nobody cares about an old lady in her car, but my dad committed to it, so I guess I got to do it. And it cost us $1,800 to bring her up here. And we had, for 3 days, people lined up out of the showroom to meet Rachel. And
far bigger.
The son said to me, I guess I was wrong. People do care about an old lady in her car. And to this day, now that was 10 years ago. To this day, we have people come in and ask about Rachel. And then we tell her, well, she passed away. And in the showroom, we've got her pictures and stories about her framed on the walls.
Far bigger than any athlete ever pulled in.
Oh,
there.
My gosh. She was a wonderful, wonderful woman, and I miss her dearly, but her car is safe. Her goal was to have it in a museum, and so we've got it in a museum, and we have her pictures around it. We've got her Bible sitting on the hood for people to look at, and it gets quite a bit of attention at the Wisconsin Auto Museum.
That is so awesome. Scott, thank you so much for sharing all that with us
today.
My
pleasure. Thank you for keeping her... keeping Rachel alive.
She is in so many different ways. God bless. I appreciate you. And we will talk again.
Call me anytime.
I will. Thanks, Scott. God
Thank
bless.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The world's most anointed car.
Oh, man. And that story just speaks to this. And again, if you missed the first segment of the show, you know, you can go back later and get the podcast. But we've been talking about anointing and how scandalous it was for these women with Jesus's feet. But again, Mary with the spikenard, that's another story. But the woman that was actually there in the Pharisee's house doing it, you know, that's scandalous. But if you walked up to just anybody on the street and start rubbing on their head, I can assure you but your mother passed that along to you, and that like the oil of an anointing, it spread.
It's pretty amazing. When you first told me about anointing and head rubbing and all that, see, my haircut is, I have a flat top. And so many kids think that it's going to stick them or something. You see them staring at it and stuff. And sometimes I'll just lean over and say, go ahead and rub it. And their hand comes right out every time, you know. They're just wondering if it's sharp or I thought it would be stiff, you know. But it's just crazy. It's just something that came to my mind the other day when you mentioned the head rubbing. And I have received several head rubbings and some
Well, and again, as Bob explained at the beginning of the show, and I don't want to miss this, his mother passed this type of affection and anointing on to you, right? She would call you puppy and get you in her lap and rub on your head. And this was something that really showed you love and made you feel loved.
Absolutely. 100%. It was the ultimate sign of love you could show to somebody, you know, and it just... You know, I raised Rob the same way. We were both physical, affectionate, hugged, loved on.
I remember that about Rob.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a hugger, too.
He'd grab you, and I scare some people. You know,
the scandalous part about it, right? I mean, you just grab your pastor and start rubbing on his head, I'm guessing that, you know, he's going to be...
Well, some of my pastors were pretty particular about their hair, but, you know, I still grab them and hug them. Maybe not shine that head far over anything, but it's just the way I was brought up, and it's still a big part of my life, and, you know, it's just something I passed on to Rob, and we hugged each other all the way through good times, bad times, if it was with arguing or something, and we just couldn't get it worked out. You know, we just grab each other and hug each other and get away from each other for a minute to cool off, you know. But the hugs were just such a big part of my life, and it's who I am.
And what I hope you're not missing is this connection that Rachel had to her car. Now, if you go back to the very original video that made her famous, that caused him to find out about it, me to find out about it, eventually Jay Leno. The name of that video was called Romancing the Road. Now think about that. This woman loved this car. I mean, if you watch anything about it, this woman loved her car. And as a result of her loving her car, she took phenomenal care of it. You heard she had lifetime warranties, 16 free batteries from Penny's.
What a genius. What a genius.
It was brilliant. And she knew that this is my car. I'm going to keep this car. I'm going to take care of this car, and this car will take care of me. And that car did clear through until, as you said, 93. But when she was 97, Growing Bolder was still doing things about her car. And so, you know, in my opinion, humble as it may be, when you wax your car, you develop more of a relationship with it. And I tried this out on my own kids, you know, because Bob, I'm not like you. In fact, my mother once told my wife, hugging Robbie is like hugging a tree. There's nothing there. And my wife has not let me forget that for, you know, the 30 years since. But that wasn't my natural inclination because I didn't get that from, you know, my parents, the kind of thing that you got. But my wife is very much that way. And so my kids are a little bit more that way than I am. So, you know, since I discovered this idea about anointing being petting and you know, the whole idea, I decided, you know, what would it be like just to rub my wife's head a little bit, to rub her hand. And you know what happened? She started rubbing my hand. And you know that whole rub it in thing? I started, oh man, it's amazing how good that feels and how it felt and whatever. And so then yesterday was my granddaughter's birthday party. So I brought up next to me, Lila rubbed her head. You know how much I love you. I was so happy you're 10 years old, whatever. Oh, what that did for her soul. It was amazing. And my daughter came over afterwards and I grabbed hold of her. And I bet you for the first time in 20 years, I not only rubbed her head, I kissed her head. And you could tell that meant the world to my daughter.
It's a big thing. It really is, you know, especially if, it's for me, it's the ultimate, you know, just to love on somebody or to be loved on. I mean, I still crave and desire that, you know, just snuggling, hugging.
It's intimacy.
It is.
And the cool thing is, Jesus wants that. He says it right there. He got on the guy because he didn't do it. The women did it. They always got blessed for it. I mean, think about what Jesus is inviting you into. Of course, we have another segment, Bob, so we're going to get to share some more. When we come back, if you got something along these lines, we'd love to hear from you. 866-348-7884. So as you think about the anointing today, we hope you're doing that, about anointing your car, of course, but, you know, the more important, bigger issue, obviously, is anointing Christ and anointing others. But the thing I don't want to miss is that Jesus' last name, Christ, that's what it means, the anointed one, or Messiah, same thing in Hebrew, means the anointed one. So wouldn't it just be really fitting for us to anoint him, Bob? I mean, it's just like, oh my goodness. Yes. How did I ever miss this? And what an opportunity we have to be able to do that.
And I think we can anoint Christ by anointing others.
Of course.
You know, we can't touch Christ at this very second physically, but we can reach out and touch others and anoint them and show them Christ's love and let Christ anoint others through us. I can't help this, but I have to mention it. 5 years ago, this show, 5 years ago, was I was sick and at home and couldn't make the show, but Robbie had agreed to let my son come in and do the show with him. And Rob came in and did the show, and pretty soon after that, after I heard how he did on the show that day, and it just was apparent to me that, hey, I might not get to do the show anymore. But all that didn't work out. But I just want to take a moment to mention, you know, 5 years ago today, Rob did this show, and it was, and I was anointed by hearing him on the air with you. And thank you for giving him that opportunity.
And oh, by the way, that show is the most downloaded ever at ChristianCarGuy.com of Rob's testimony that came there at the end, talking about the tree shouting out in Isaiah. Rob went to be with the Lord, what, 2 weeks later?
2 weeks later, January the 9th, 109, 2014. And,
yeah.
It was
obviously an anointed show. And
I didn't know that was the most downloaded show.
Yeah, by far and away. By probably 5,000 more downloads than any other show that we ever did.
Huh. I still have a bear that you can mash the bear's hand. And the part about the trees were singing, and the trees were clapping their hands and the mountains were singing, and I have that where I can, and I did it just the other day. It was wild. I went in there and said, hey, where's that bear? And he's still sitting on my dresser, and I mashed it, and it was a quote from that show.
And that's a neat thing, that people continue to go there, ChristianCarGuy.com, download that podcast. It's marked pretty special so that people know what it is. But along those lines, you know, I would be very remiss if I didn't talk about the anointing that I saw this week based on our listeners, because a listener heard about 3 weeks ago that we had a need for a car. This lady had called in. Her steering mechanism had failed to where she couldn't even steer her car safely. She would turn the wheel and the car wouldn't turn. And, you know, here it was 2 weeks before Christmas. This is going to be $1,000. She doesn't have the money, and she has no idea how she's going to keep her job and how she's going to take care of her child. And she, I I've had some ladies cry, but this one really got to me, and oh my, it really, really broke my heart. And at the time, I was overwhelmed. Like, I don't have the $1,000 to fix this car. So the only thing I knew to do with her was pray. And we prayed. And there was something about that prayer that day that it just felt like God was going to handle this. You know, it's just going to be okay. And I just kind of knew that. Well, I talked about it on the show 2 days later that we needed a car. And I have this old form that I don't get very often about where if somebody donates a car. And sure enough, the Sunday after that show, I got a listener who had sent in a request to donate a car, a 2001 Saturn. And I was like, oh my goodness, look what God has provided. And if you could have, you know, I wasn't able to hug on her and rub on her head, Bob, but believe me, Jesus was. If you could have seen the look on her face as she saw that God took care, you know, and she knew clearly this was this was no regular donation here. She had a need. We didn't have a car. We prayed. You know, God showed up, and she knew the whole story. And so the donor knew the story, too, and the whole thing was an anointing.
Well, we don't realize so many times we forget that God is all we need until God's all we got. You know, I've been in so many situations in my life where I didn't have any answers. Was having trouble coming up with questions that made any sense. And there was just nothing I could do. And then all of a sudden, everything's working out perfect. And you're finding blessings in places that you didn't really see a blessing coming from, you know, and you didn't have an answer. You didn't have a car. You didn't have money to fix her car. But all you needed was a little prayer
and you don't know that, you know, the next time it'll be some big donation or another car or God's working on something and he's got something else for that person. And there's times when I clearly see that he doesn't want me to fix that car. That's not going to happen. It just doesn't happen. And I don't know what's behind all that, but I do know that he loves those people, and he would love to hold them in his lap and rub on their head.
Oh, me, it's just, you get to stroke so many people. You get to love on folks, and it's, you've done such an amazing thing. And what started out to be just a, you know, well, maybe we can help a few people. You have helped so many folks with this ministry of yours, and
you're a big part of that too, Bob. We all have God is the one that pulled the whole thing off. And again, due to your generous contributions, we gave away nearly $20,000 this year that we served over 250 clients that went through the Jesus Labor Love. We gave away nearly, I think, 8 cars this year. And this was a year where there was no more big tax deduction to do that, you know, that the tax laws change. And so, you know, these people are doing this completely out of generosity rather than, you know, the, oh yeah, I need the tax deduction kind of thing. This was huge.
Well,
and so our prayer is that you continue to do it, because without you, I got nothing. Without God, I got nothing. But, and obviously he makes it happen. But, you know, it's just amazing to see. And you've seen it firsthand because your wife keeps the books.
We have seen it firsthand, and it's still amazing the folks that do reach in there inside of themselves and come up with the idea of donating to such a worthy charity. And
And as we speak, I've got 2 volunteers that are in Raleigh right now putting together another car that was donated to us, and we're hoping that we've got a lady that's been waiting that we think we're going to be able to do next week. And once again, I get to stand there in that line at the DMV and watch God, you know, meet a need that just blows my mind.
Another anointing, brother.
It is. So our prayer is that we could all take a lesson from Rachel and how to love well.
And anoint that car.
Anoint somebody else that needs it today. And oh, by the way, when you begin to rub on people and things like, You feel the love too, so that's all an opportunity for us. Thank you for listening to us this year. What a wonderful year it's been of the Christian Car Guy Show, and we'll be praying that your New Year celebration will be absolutely fabulous. We'll look forward to talk to you next year, Bob.
Next year, brother. Next year.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Christian Car. Oh, remember, slow down. Jesus walked everywhere he went. Got it all done in 33 years.